Jesus has asked that you might receive. The Lord many times will put burdens on our heart for someone else because He is about to do a work in someone else. He's about to do that work. And so He wants to include us in the joy of it. And many times the Lord will Himself cause us to come into that. He Himself will cause us to enter into His burden so we can also enter into His joy, the fullness of it. I want you to know that there is no joy greater than when the Lord shares with you or includes you in some way in His works with other people. When you've been able to have the smallest part, whether that be in prayer, whether touching them, reaching out to them, speaking to them, praying for them, whatever it is, He lets us have a part. That's His way of sharing with us His joys. I don't think any of us really understand just what joys it brings to Him. What tremendous joys it brings to Him. To touch us and quicken us and make us whole. Mighty rushing wind blow in, restoring authority and power to a glorious, wonderful church full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to introduce a subject tonight, but I won't be preaching on it. I feel to leave it at this. You know, He's been speaking of a dwelling place for God. And how He started with just a human being made from flesh. God began with Christ. He began with conception, the small little embryo, and brought Himself into this world. God always starts way back. He doesn't just bring it into existence. And so you've wondered probably how we've gotten from inheritance to inhabitants and how we started with inheritance. And we wandered off to inhabitants. Because our inheritance is that God will inhabit us. That's it in a nutshell. And God's going to inhabit us. Remembering now the stages of development of man until we become one body of which Christ is the head. But God will inhabit us in stages too. It's progressive. Nothing God does is just everything and that's it. God does everything in stages, progressively. So this inheritance that was given us, we were given to inherit God Himself. And everything that came out from Him, we were meant to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ, whom took upon Himself flesh and became with us the first inheritor of which all the rest of mankind should follow. Through His redemptive plan, you see, man, are you listening? Man in his original state couldn't inherit the kingdom of God. Neither could he inherit that place in God. Neither could he inherit that habitation of being that place for God. It says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It cannot. Not that it won't and will not. It can't. Jesus Christ, through His redemption, came. We are going to drop off this body. And He's going to give us a new body. But this new body won't have blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit. Are you understanding? And so, in God's fullness of time, we are going to be that full creation. And in Christ, who was the first fruit, of the resurrection, the first taste of that new and completed body, although he is not complete without us, and although the mystical body, that full habitation of God, is not yet complete and cannot be complete until all of us go. In fact, until the second resurrection, until all things are complete, until that plan which God began to reveal unfolds, and as it begins to, it comes to its full fruition. But God will also inherit us. No, God will inhabit, God will dwell in us proportionately as we follow through these dimensions, if that's the way you want me to say it. As we follow through this process from one dimension, the scripture call it glory, from one glory to another glory, so also in that dimension, the Spirit, God Himself inhabits us. And from the moment we believe, we are set apart into that body that will someday be complete. And it becomes a new creation when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. Because the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the first taste we have on earth of God dwelling in us. What we knew tonight, this that we experienced tonight, is just a taste. This is the Holy Spirit that was given unto us. He is the expression of God. The earnest means the down payment toward the whole. It's just the beginning. When it's through, it will be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You look at some people that have learned to become a real vessel for the Holy Spirit, and they're like giant temples in which the Holy Ghost dwells without any restrictions. They've learned not to quench His Spirit. They've learned to yield their whole body, their whole life to the Holy Spirit. And we say, Lord, what lives. They're not just set apart as some examples. We'll all need to get there. And that's just the Holy Spirit dwelling in Him. Then in dimension to dimension, from glory to glory, we continue until the fullness of the Godhead can dwell within that temple that He created, not made by hands of man, nor flesh can inherit. In Romans 8, verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I read this to you before. 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's the beginning. 17, if children, if having begun, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, we may be also glorified together with Him. Now I want to read to you out of Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That, now listen to this, verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'll read it again. Who? The renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What is that hope? 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Second Corinthians 5:5. Now He that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of his Spirit. In Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. What was it? That in the dispensation, listen to this, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, plural, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed and made co-heirs with Jesus Christ. What was the first purpose of God when he gave us to inherit? Basically, himself. He could think of no greater thing to give us but himself. And the very first thing he gives unto us the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is his Spirit. Paul said, ye have believed and ye have been baptized. Have you received the promise of the Holy Ghost? They said, we know not what that is. And so he proceeded to explain to them and tell them that this was the earnest of our inheritance. What was it? A walk without God wasn't a walk. Life began here. The plan of God began unfolding here. Our inheritance, we began now to receive and live and enjoy. And the earnest of it was given in our heart. And we were sealed by the Holy Ghost and separated for God for this purpose eternal which he had for us. And he gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Do you know there's many references in the scripture to that? About him giving him. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is a gift? In Acts 2:38, Acts 10:45, it says the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, in Hebrews, they go a step further. In Hebrews 6:4, it says, the heavenly gift. In reference to the Holy Spirit, the heavenly gift. That is a gift to all who will believe. And when the Holy Spirit is given to us, it's like everything else that God does. Are you listening? It's like everything else that God does. It begins in seed form, just like Jesus began on the earth. It's not just, you've got the Holy Ghost and that's it. That's why some people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What they got is the earnest of their inheritance and the earnest of the Holy Ghost. They got the first portion, of which there's about 10,000 more before you get through with life, being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why when somebody prays for somebody, said, be filled with the Holy Ghost, and then tomorrow they come back and they pray for them again, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, how many times do you have to pray? Each time you prayed, they did. With a new measure. With a new operation. I'll be sharing with you from the Word, not tonight, about the different operations of the Spirit. I didn't say the operations of the gifts. I said the operations of the Spirit. And each one will take us into a new level of development in Him because it's done and wrought in our hearts with Him. We are brought into a new place. Each place, each plateau is like getting more of Him. That's the way you want to put it. We are brought into the dimension of fellowship. And communion, that's what we had tonight. We are brought into the dimension of the communion of the Holy Ghost. But there's a whole lot more. I already had for tonight written 6 of them. But there are dimensions that we are given to get into in glory to glory. That's just in the Holy Ghost. And how about then the Son? And how about then the Father? I think it's never going to end. I think there's no ceiling. If they can't fathom the depth, nor the height, nor the width, nor the breadth of his love, how can they fathom God? How will we ever know everything there is? When will we ever come to the end of this all? Maybe never. Maybe in his plan, it's an ever-going, everlasting plan. I will tell you, the more I know of the Holy Spirit, the more He knows of me, the more I want of Him. And for reasons I can't understand, the more He wants of me. I'd have thought He'd been content if I just gave Him 5 minutes of my day. Now He wants just about everything. He bugs me day and night. Robert, I want more. Well, God, I've given you everything. God is right here. Anything you want, you take. My body, my kids, my life, my health, my home, money, everything. It's yours, Lord. You know I've given it to you. Yes, I want your heart. And I'll keep after it until you love me with a perfect heart. And I know what that means. That doesn't mean a pure heart. He already made me pure. You can't get pure with pure. He's talking about perfect, entire, whole, the lot. And I said, Lord, 40% is enough? No. Well, Lord, I can't give you 100. He said, how about 50? And then the years go by. How about 60? But I know where this is going to end. But I also know that the more I give Him, the more He gives to me. The more I have of Him. Oh, a whole lot more I have of Him. And when I've given Him everything, He will then begin to release everything. Even the knowledge of Himself, who He is, what He likes, what He doesn't like, everything. He's so beautiful. He's so wonderful. And about the time you just think you're on cloud nine because He reveals something beautiful about Himself to you, and it's just like an unfolding revelation, then you get to think, when I get to the end of this, then I've got the other two to go with. The beginning of wisdom, of knowledge, of understanding given to us by the Holy Ghost. Infinite in wisdom, infinite in knowledge, who searches out the mind of God and puts it into my little tiny heart in the measure that I give Him myself. Oh, folks, I want to tell you, He couldn't have thought of a lovelier gift to start off with, but a part of Himself. You see, although they are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one. Think of it as the Son. The Father's the essence, the nuclei, the whole thing. The Son is the brilliance. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, is the brilliance, not the essence, the brilliance, the radiance, the light. The Holy Spirit is the warmth. He's the effect that you can feel. He can get down here where you can touch God and not get burned. You can get a suntan. Real nice one. Just don't turn your back on Him. You'll get tanned somewhere else. He's the warmth. He's the effect of God. But it's still one Son. It's still one. Folks, if I'm just getting a feeling for the warmth, what's the light going to be like? When I get a feeling for the light, what's that burning inferno inside that light? Anything like? When He said, I am a consuming fire. You know, I know this might sound stupid to you, but I can't hardly wait. There is no beauty, there's no wonderment more glorious than the Holy Ghost. Even if you know Him this much, I can't begin to understand how wonderful it might be to know them all. The Holy Spirit was given to us as just the start, as just the beginning, as an earnest, just a whistle. Just. My God, what a just. What a beginning. You know, they say you'll make it if you get a running start. What a start. That's a running start. You say, well, if that's all it is? No. Friends, you know what most people have received after they believed is the gift of tongues. That's just a gift of the Spirit. Wait till you get the Spirit. And wait till He fills you in greater measures. Wait till He reveals Himself to you. Oh, there's so much ahead. You would come every night, and every night be filled 10 times. And each time He'll give you a new measure and a new something to go with. Take you a lifetime. You'll love every bit of it. It's more wonderful now than before. But it's a give and take situation. He seems to want more of us too. Start with a fingernail, and then next thing you know, you're giving Him the first knob, and then the second one. Oh man, after a few years, you're giving Him a whole hand. Hey, you know, folks, realize this. I've given Him a whole hand. Yeah, you got a whole body to go. How wonderful. The earnest of our inheritance. We have been given a beautiful inheritance. He could think of no other thing greater than to give us himself. And so he had to start by making himself a house. That took him several thousand years, no problem. Then he had to get Jesus small enough, down there small enough, that point of conception, that's how small. How brilliant. How wonderful. Heirs together with Jesus Christ, we're given the earnest of the Spirit. He is the beginning of our inheritance. I bless God for that plan. I love him for it. Well, I said I wouldn't belabor it. I'd only announce it. And so that I have. Just the beginning of it. The announcement of a great plan. We have been given to inherit the Holy Spirit. He is a gift. A gift of the Father. A wonderful gift. And do you know that the Father knew that in order to give us just the first part, he had to open himself to incredible pain? It was necessary that he come and die and give his life and leave this earth. Jesus said, I must return to the Father. I must die and go to heaven before the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can be sent to me. And at a great price to himself, the Father, who knew this before the foundation of the world, who knew that that would become necessary, went ahead with his plan. What a plan. What a wonderful plan. Just so little things like us that God created could know the delights. You see, there are delights in his presence forevermore, but that didn't mean we had to know them. That didn't mean we had to taste them. We're just a little creation. He made angels more beautiful than us. But no, he wanted this tiny little creation that he molded with his fingers to know the delights of his presence forevermore. The glories of his holiness, the beauty of his person, the power of his grandeur. I find it exciting. Oh, I sat there and just blessed the Lord. For half an hour as I began to realize this whole thing had a plan, this whole thing from beginning to end was a thought from God toward us. It's almost like saying, just thinking of you. I made you down there. And then I spent the rest of a few thousand years just thinking about it. And I didn't know what else to give you. There's nothing in all eternity, nothing in all creation, nothing in all the universe more wonderful than the very throne, than the very heart of all that was God. He said, I can't think of anything more delightful to do to this puny little thing I've created down here than to bring it in, let it grow up in stages until it's capable of even handling me. I was saying to somebody today, you know, when you're a little child, you don't have the capacity to be loved. Yeah, you do. You just sit there and suck it all in. No, you don't. They don't know that they're sucking it in. All they know is that they're secure and comfortable. That's all they know. Now when they're 10 years old, they want to know why their sister gets more attention than they do. Now that's different because they have more capacity to be loved, and they're not loved up to that capacity. Then when they grow up, their parents don't give them near enough time, so they leave and find someone else that will love them. They want to go out there and they fall in love with someone that will just love them. Why? Because now they have a greater capacity to be loved and it's not being filled by you. Why? Because we've grown up. You have more capacity to be loved. Do you know what? That will never end. It'll become bigger and greater and greater and greater. So God knew he had to build a capacity for us just to contain him, to be able to even perceive him. And so he's at work at that. He's got a great plan for that too. So God's enlarging our capacity for being loved. Our capacity for himself. I love him for that. And I bless him. You wait till we see what we're to enjoy on this earth when we're totally filled with the Holy Spirit. One of them is joy. When we're fully perfected, we won't ever come with faces like tonight. There is a joy of the Spirit that just rides above all the storms of life. And you see, once in a while, God will let you see one of these seasoned ones. You know what I mean? they're always so steady. You say, oh, God's not good. You know, they're just down the road, that's all. You just let the Spirit keep leading you and guiding you and developing you. You're going to get there. That's where we're all going. That's where we're all going. And I know, you know, that they tell you that this life is everything, and if you don't get it all done, well, I'm sorry. Well, that might be true about getting through the door. But you leave the rest to God, because He's got an eternity to work with you.